live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach has refused to rule out an election this year, but told reporters today his preference is to get on with the job of running the country. The UK's new plan for exiting the EU is a step toward a softer Brexit, according to the Taoiseach. 12th of July parades and demonstrations have passed off peacefully so far today, despite 5 nights of violence. We'll be hearing from the Chief Inspector in Derry. A bill which would divest public money from fossil fuel companies has passed its final stages in the Dáil with government and cross-party support. The bill was moved by Deputy Thomas Pringle. And Richard Bruton acknowledges that there is frustration in Bunkrana on the Three School project. All those stories to follow, plus more, and we'll also have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. That's coming up at around 5:15. The Taoiseach has refused to rule out an election this year, but told reporters today his preference is to get on with the job of running the country. Talks between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar on renewing the confidence and supply arrangement have yet to get underway. The Taoiseach wants to renegotiate the deal before the budget. Micheál Martin says they want to see the deal out until January before they enter discussions. Leo Varadkar was asked if an election would be held this year if they can't reach agreement.
Look, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but the focus of government now is absolutely on the job. It's on keeping the economy going, it's on protecting people's jobs, creating new ones, it's on negotiating a good deal for Brexit, trying to get the institutions of the North up and running, making progress in healthcare and housing. That's my focus at the moment, not elections.
Well, the UK's new plan for exiting the EU is a step toward a softer Brexit, according to the Taoiseach. Simon Coveney welcomed the plan, but said talk about Brexit had to get out of parliaments and into the negotiating rooms. Theresa May's plan would see more free movement of EU citizens in the UK than had been previously anticipated. The Taoiseach described her document as a step in the right direction.
I think it's certainly a step towards a much softer Brexit than some people had been advocating for. I mean, there are some people who actually don't want a deal. They want Britain to simply leave and do its own thing independently as a third country. I think that would be a disaster for Britain. I think it would also be a hugely negative outcome for Ireland.
12th of July parades and demonstrations have passed off peacefully across Northern Ireland so far today, despite 5 nights of violence leading up to the day. Overnight incidents in Derry, Belfast and Down saw vehicles hijacked and burned out, and petrol bombs thrown at police. Two improvised devices were dealt with in Derry in the early hours of the morning. Tens of thousands have been attending today's parades and demonstrations right across Northern Ireland, including large events in Castlederg and Derry City. PSNI Chief Inspector Alan Hutton is in the city today.
We did have we regard as crude viable devices thrown onto the walls last night, but we worked long and hard with our partners and the military to have them made safe and removed in time for the parade to start. And so far, everything seems to be going well.
Meanwhile, police in Derry are appealing for information about the throwing of petrol bombs in the Ardmore Road area of the city in the early hours of this morning. They're also investigating the throwing of petrol bombs and other disturbances in the Cullen Lane area just before 9 last night. They're also seeking information about those two devices that the Chief Inspector referred to. A bill which would divest public money from fossil fuel companies has passed its final stages in the Dáil today with government and cross-party support. The bill will now go through the Senedd in the new term. The Fossil Fuel Divestment Bill, which was brought forward by independent Deputy Thomas Pringle, is intended to meet Ireland's climate change commitments, which were agreed to in the Paris Agreement. Deputy Pringle says Ireland is set to become one of the first nations in the world to divest its public money away from fossil fuel companies.
I'm grateful to all the opposition parties and colleagues who ensured this bill passed the critical second stage and have engaged seriously and consistently throughout the process leading to today. I also wish to acknowledge and welcome the constructive recent engagement by the Government and the Minister for Finance and the Department of Finance and the Strategic Ireland Investment Fund that has enabled this bill to come forward with what we hope will be cross-party support today. As with any legislation at this stage in the process, compromises have been made, but I am satisfied that this amendment represents a solid outcome that will see Ireland make a significant contribution to the global fossil fuel divestment movement. The movement is highlighting the need to stop investing in the expansion of a global industry which must be brought into managed decline if the limits to warming set out in the Paris Agreement are to be delivered and catastrophic climate change averted. In domestic terms, I believe it represents a significant increase onus on the Strategic Ireland Investment Fund, other state bodies and importantly the Oireachtas to hold ourselves to significantly higher levels of due diligence, transparency and accountability around the energy policy and the investment decisions we take in the next few short years. Decisions which will determine whether the Paris Agreement goals are won or lost. Thank you.
Well, Minister of State Michael Darcy praised Deputy Pringle, describing the bill as an example of what can happen when everyone works together. He said that ISIS, the Ireland Strategic Investment Fund, is already being guided by the bill's principles and was involved in the drafting of the amendments agreed today.
I commend Deputy Pringle and work in advancing this bill, and I commend the Amendment House. The work between Deputy Pringle's office and non-government agencies, non-government organisations, Stroker, ISIF and the Department of Finance, that we had a really good, strong, robust debate at committee stage. And I think if anything, that really helped focus minds. I think everybody wanted to achieve the objective, and the question was how we got there. I want to commend Deputy Pringle for his flexibility in allowing ISIF and the Department of Finance to have that level of flexibility. Without that, I don't believe we would be where we are today.
The Education Minister has acknowledged the frustration felt by those waiting on the long-anticipated three-school campus in Buncrana, but says compulsory purchase should only be considered as a last resort. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Minister Bruton said agreement would be the preferable resolution, and he believes all parties are on the same page in that regard.
Going down the compulsory purchase order is not in itself a smooth or necessarily even path. So if we can resolve this in other ways, that is preferable. So that's where the work is going in. But clearly, we do need an outcome here. I've met with the local reps. I think everyone is on the same page on this. Donegal County Council is working with us. So I think there is a determination to find a solution. But if we can find one without, you know, resorting to those approaches, that would be our preferred outcome. But I am very conscious that this has dragged on, and we do need to see an outcome as quickly as possible. But, you know, I think there is a sense of some progress being made here, and I'm definitely willing to give an opportunity for that progress to advance and hopefully reach a conclusion.
And that was Minister Richard Bruton speaking there to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show earlier today. The cut-off point for payments to those affected by cervical check is cold and callous, according to a Donegal deputy. It's proposed that families affected wouldn't be able to claim expenses incurred prior to the 11th of May. Some of the victims believe that's just not acceptable because their illnesses cost them financially long before that date. Deputy Piers Doherty told the Dáil today that issue must be revisited.
I think any fair-minded person will say that that is simply unacceptable, Tánaiste, and it represents a shocking treatment on behalf of this state to people who this state has already failed. It is not right, Tánaiste, and the cut-off point should be scrapped.
More than €93,000 has been approved under the CLAR programme for a number of first responder organisations in Donegal. Announcing the allocation, Junior Minister Joe McHugh said from Ardra to Falkara to Sheephaven and further afield, the government is demonstrating the importance of supporting community-based organisations and the selfless work that they do. Among the recipients are Donegal Mountain Rescue, Donegal Community Rapid Response, Falkara First Responders, Ardra Cardiac First Responders and Sheephaven Aqua Club. A list of the beneficiaries and the amounts offered to them is on our website, highlandradio.com. It's been confirmed that traffic calming measures are to be implemented at a busy Falkara housing estate following a number of speeding complaints. Donegal County Council installed traffic counters at the main entrance to the Ballina estate. They found some motorists were going far over the 30 km per hour speed limit. It's envisaged that works including advanced warning signs, road markings and reflective bollards will be complete before year's end. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, says currently that road is treacherous. He says this work should make a huge difference to local residents.
I think the road safety message that needs to go out from this is that Ballina Estate is treacherously dangerous for young kids that are playing in the estate. Something needed to happen. I'm glad to have got funding. The engineers have come up with a solution which they believe to be correct, and I'll be asking the members of the estate and the businesses to sit down in a day over the coming weeks to have a look at the plan and the scheme and see if they are happy with it, and works can start then in the next number of weeks and months.
All businesses in the Twin Towns are being urged to attend a meeting to discuss and agree traffic management options for the area from now until December. The Director of Roads and Transportation with Donegal County Council, John McLaughlin, will also be available later in the week to consider options put forward in a bid to alleviate severe traffic congestion. There have been many complaints from local businesses in recent weeks because of the amount of works taking place in the area. The businesses are meeting at the base on Monday next at 2 o'clock. Councillor Patrick McGowan is hopeful that some interim solutions will come from those discussions.
The work on the bridge is due to commence shortly again. Then you're on into September, you have the schools and you have the normal traffic. So it's to try and keep a positive blood on the thing. And as I say, John McGowan, he's the Director of Roads and Transportation, he has agreed then to meet the Chamber afterwards so that they can all sit down and try and work out. And I don't know if it's possible to defer some of the work on that, but that's the, everything will be looked at, nothing will be excluded, to try and to keep the traffic flowing as best as possible.
But as you mentioned, one solution might not suit Ballybuffet while it might suit Stranorler. Will it not be quite difficult to come up with a solution that it's agreeable to all?
Yeah, it is. And there's a number of options. I have, since maybe the last 2 weeks, I have been in regular contact with local engineers from the TIA. I spoke to the contractors, the different contractors on the bridge and the up Donegal Road. And I've also had numerous conversations with John McLaughlin himself, and I've actually spoke to Seamus Neely as well. A lot of the suggestions have come from various businesses, but I know myself, some suggestions wouldn't be supported by all the businesses. So the idea is that the business will sit down together and try and come up with a solution from now to Christmas.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGowan. He was speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. A 28-year-old father of four has been found guilty of causing serious harm to two of his former partners by infecting them with HIV. It's the first case of its kind in Ireland. With more, here's Stephanie Grogan.
The court heard the man had been diagnosed with HIV in 2008, and the prosecution said he knew full well he had the virus when these offences occurred 2 years later. The prosecution said the accused, an African national, had been advised about safe sex, knew the risks, and didn't take his antiviral medication. The man's ex-wife told the court he didn't like condoms and wasn't shocked when she told him she had been diagnosed with HIV during routine testing when she was pregnant. Another former partner told the trial the man wouldn't use contraception and blamed her when she was diagnosed. The accused, who can't be named to protect the identity of the women involved, had denied the charges but was convicted by a jury. Judge Martin Nolan remanded the accused in custody ahead of sentencing later this month and said a custodial sentence is likely. Stephanie Grogan at the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, now stocking a wide selection of Brooks running shoes.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Derry City are preparing for their first European game in 4 years. The Candy Stripes entertain Dynamo Minsk in the first leg of a Europa League first qualifying round encounter at the Brandywell tonight. Kickoff's at 6 o'clock. Minsk are seen as strong favourites, having lost just one of their last 16 matches, while Derry have won just twice in their last seven. Derry City manager Kenny Shields understands the opposition have good qualities.
They're very technical, as you would expect, and they play through the units, and they play long. They've got a mixture of everything. They keep three players up all the time, so they'll be looking to get goals. Certainly away from home, they'll be playing with that adventure to try and get a goal so they can take it back to their own place. So they've got quality players. They've got 14 midfield players, 11 of which are over 25, which lends itself to a very experienced team. We know the qualities that they have. It's just making sure that we try to match them.
Yeah, that game kicks off at 6 o'clock. A game already started at 5. Dundalk have travelled to Estonia. They're playing Leadfoot Tallinn. That game, after 6 or 7 minutes, was still scoreless. Shamrock Rovers, they welcome AIK Stockholm to Tala this evening. 7:05 is the kick-off time for that one. An Irish league side, Coleraine, there in Serbia to play Spartak Subotica. That one kicks off at 7:45, as does Cliftonville's game. They're at home tonight to FC Norgesland. And Liverpool legend Steven Gerrard, he takes charge of Rangers for the first time in a competitive match this evening. The Glasgow side welcome Shupi of Macedonia to Ibrox this evening. In other news, Cork City manager John Caulfield has been handed a one-game touchline ban. The suspension comes on the back of his dismissal against Cork's loss at their title rivals Dundalk last month. Caulfield is set to serve the ban in their Premier League clash with Bray on July the 27th. Well, Fan Harps manager Ollie Horgan, he wants his players to rise to the occasion when Longford come to Ballybuffet tomorrow night. Longford had inflicted a 4-2 defeat to Harps at Fan Park, but in a reverse tie in April, Harps won on the road at Longford. Harps go into the tie after wins over Cabinteely and Drogheda both away. And defender Keith Cowan, he wants Harps to build on that good form.
Wins at this time of the year are very important, and you know, two wins and two clean sheets back to back is you know, is going to give us, you know, a bit more confidence that's, I suppose, needed.
In the Northwest Women's Super League this evening, there's a top of the table clash when Bonagie United, who are tied second, host the leaders Greencastle. Elsewhere tonight, Fannett United, they play Ellis. Cairndonagh play Laggan Harps, and Mavill Celtic, they play Clonmany. 7:30 is the kick-off time on those. Cross channel, Antonio Conte has reportedly been sacked as Chelsea's head coach. The Napoli president has claimed Maurizio Sarri is close to taking over at Chelsea. Conte led Chelsea to the Premier League title in his first season in charge and won the FA Cup in the next campaign. And all 23 of England's players are set to remain in Russia for Saturday's third place playoff. Gareth Southgate men will face Belgium after missing out on the first final for 52 years. Kieran Trippier, Kyle Walker and Jordan Henderson are believed to be injury doubts after last night's 2-1 defeat to Croatia. Well, in Gaelic games, Frank McGlynn says Donegal are refocused for their Super 8s of the All-Ireland Championships. Donegal go into the next phase of the summer as Ulster champions, having defeated Fermanagh in the provincial final at the end of June. Donegal have to play Dublin, Roscommon and Tyrone in the group stages. Frank McGlynn says you have to take it one game at a time.
There's going to be a lot of changes throughout this three-game series. The great thing about it, I suppose, no matter what happens in the previous two games, I'd hope that most teams are going to go into their last game with a chance of getting an All-Ireland semi-final. The only way to guarantee an All-Ireland semi-final is to win your three games. So we'll be taking step one against Dublin and going for the victory there, and victory or defeat. The great thing about the All-Ireland quarter-final, you have another game for the following week. Whether you win or lose your first game, you have to come back down again or get back up to the correct level to get a victory in your second game. So it's going to be lots of ups and downs, but it's a three-game series that's to be taken one game at a time, and we're certainly not looking forward any further forward than Dublin.
Yeah, that's Frank McGlynn there. Well, Dublin, they'll be without John Small for that Super 8s tie against Donegal on Saturday. The Ballymun clubman has lost an appeal to the CHC against the red card that he received in Dublin's Leinster final win over Laois. Elsewhere, Roscommon manager Kevin McStay has made two changes for their Super 8s match against Tyrone. That's also on Saturday evening. Fintan Craig comes in at centre-half back, with Cathal Compton set to start at full forward. Both came on as subs in the Rossies' win over Armagh and the qualifiers last weekend. There's one tie in the All-County League's First Division this evening. Clochaneely, they play Glen Swilly. That one has an 8 o'clock throw-in time. In cycling, Ireland's Dan Martin's won today's sixth stage of cycling's Tour de France. He made a break in the last kilometre of the stage, which included two climbs. Belgium's Greg Van Avermaet, he retained the leader's yellow jersey. In golf, it's the Scottish Open this week, and Paul Dunne's the best of the Irish. He's in 2-under par through 11 holes. Graham McDowell shot a 69 to sit in 1-under. Darren Clark's also 1-under through 15, and Padraig Harrington had another disappointing day. He shot a 73 to sit on 3-over par. That's 9 shots off the lead, which are the leaders at 6-under par are Robert Rock, Ricky Fowler, Scott Fernandes and Jens Dantrup, all in the clubhouse, while Patrick Reed's also in 6-under through 13 holes. In the PGA Tour, it's the John Deere Classic this week. Seamus Power is the only Irishman on the field. He tees off a little later. Leading the way at the moment are CT Pan and Johnson Wagner. They're both on 6-under par through 13 holes. And finally for this evening in tennis, Serena Williams will face Angelique Kerber in a repeat of the 2016 Wimbledon singles final. The 7-time champion beat Yulia Georgias 6-2, 6-4. While double Grand Slam winner Kerber, who lost to Williams 2 years ago, also won in straight sets against Yelena Ostapenko 6-3, 6-3. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. It's emerged that residents in a housing estate near Letterkenny have had to keep their windows shut for a long period because of a foul smell coming from a nearby sewage treatment plant. Problems with the plant at Errigal View have been recurring for a number of years. It's not operating at present. Donegal County Council is to make an application for financial assistance to address various deficiencies. In the interim, the council's environment section is to empty the sump associated with the foul pump station. Councillor Liam Blaney says people just should not be subjected to this.
Well, for a long number of years, sporadically, the treatment plant hadn't been operating, but unfortunately, this last 4 or 5 years, it's not operating at all. And at least in a situation where there's a burn run down by alongside it, and it's overflowing straight onto the burn and going out onto the River Lennon. And some of the local people up there had been onto me on numerous occasions, and then back onto me last week again, where the smell was that bad that they'd close the windows in the house and they've young children playing out beside it in the garden.
Further discussions are to take place to discuss perceived issues with unofficial tiffing events which happen over rally weekend in Letterkenny. The issue was raised at municipal district level this week, but council planners say because these events are held on private land, their hands are tied. A meeting with all relevant bodies will be arranged, while the local authority has also been urged to identify some form of legislation which can be used to prevent such events from happening in the future. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says it's important to protect the rally's own reputation.
We're trying to arrange a meeting now with all the interested parties, i.e. the operators of these Diffin, Vintners, the Gardaí Council, to try and put in place a mechanism where these cannot happen in the future. I think there was a recognition in the Chamber today that this is not good for Donegal International Rally. It is totally separate from Donegal International Rally, and I want to make that very clear. I think we have the support of the Donegal Motor Club in trying to address these Diffin centres. And unfortunately for us as a council, as was pointed out today by the planning department, is that these events take place in private grounds, and there's not much really that we can do about that. Now, I've asked the planners to go back again and look at the planning regulations and try and identify some part or form of legislation where we can implement to prevent these taking place. These unregulated different events which are putting everybody's health and well-being at risk and is making life a nightmare for the residents of the areas outlined.
And the leader of the Shannon has been asked to help facilitate a meeting between the AGSI and GSOC following the publication last week of Mr Justice Frank Clark's report into the circumstances surrounding the death of Sergeant Mick Galvin at Ballyshannon Garda Station in May 2015. Sergeant Galvin, who had been under investigation by GSOC, took his own life, not knowing that he'd been cleared of any wrongdoing in relation to the investigation into a road death earlier that year. Donegal-born Senator Robbie Gallagher told the Shannon that GSOC must be more open, and that, he said, means better communication.
Justice Clark's report, in my opinion, raises serious issues on how GSOC goes about its business. Justice Clark, I think it's important to say, says of Sergeant Galvin, and I quote, "There is no doubt that he was an outstanding member of An Garda Síochána and an outstanding person." He also goes on to say, and I quote, "Sergeant Mick Galvin was not involved in any wrongdoing. That is and was the clear outcome of the GSOC inquiry." A few questions arise for me from Justice Clark's report. First of all, was there a need at all for a criminal inquiry? Why was the file sent to the DPP when GSOC's own inquiry found nothing to report? I also note that members under investigation were not even informed that they were under criminal investigation. And tragically, in this case, Sergeant Mick Galvin was not informed of the outcome of that inquiry. That is, that he had no case to answer. I fully appreciate that there will always be tensions between GSOC and An Garda. Both of them have a job to do, and both of them deserve the space and time to do that work. But this report clearly shows many shortcomings that need to be addressed. And I would ask perhaps that you would use your good offices, as I say, to help facilitate a meeting between the Gardaí and GSOC so everyone knows exactly where they stand and what's expected of them.
Senator Robbie Gallagher. It'll be dry tonight with long, clear periods. Some patches of mist may form in near calm conditions. Any mist patches will soon clear, giving way to a mostly dry day tomorrow with a mix of sunny spells and cloudy periods, sunshine turning hazier from the west, highs of 18 to 21 in light and variable breezes. Taoiseach has refused to rule out an election this year, but told reporters his focus is on getting on with the job of running the country. The Taoiseach has welcomed the UK's new plan for exiting the EU, but said it's time to get the debate out of parliaments and into the negotiating rooms in Europe. 12th of July parades and demonstrations have been passing off relatively peacefully across Northern Ireland, despite five nights of violence. A bill which would divest public money from fossil fuel companies has passed through the final stages of the ball. The bill was moved by Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. Well, we're back with news headlines again at 6. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 12th of July. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Patrick Doran via Manor Cunningham. Removal from the hospice at 6 o'clock this evening, going to his late residence. Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director, Church Hill and Letterkenny. And the death has taken place of William Sweeney, Lurgan Boy, Port Salem. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St. Columbus Church, Mass Mount Fanad for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.